God's word lives and abides forever. There is nothing on the earth that can stop it. It's in my heart today. It's my heart today. It's working in my life today. I proclaim God's word is working in my life today. It's governing my experiences. It's dominating all that I do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we exalt you. We praise you. We exalt you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. And all you're doing in our lives. Our hallelujah is to you at all times. Blessed be your name forever. Hallelujah. So run, welcome someone this morning. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at Thrive. And somebody says, why do we pick that title? Because we're looking at practical aspects of God's word with respect to daily Christian living. Because, you know, some people are of the opinion that God's word is divorced from practical everyday living. But because we are born of God's word, we saw 1 Peter chapter 1 that says that being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed. But of incorruptible, that's 1 Peter 1, and I believe verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So we explain that that means that when it says not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, it's speaking about the word that never fails. So it's actually, remember that when Peter was writing 1 Peter and 2 Peter, there was no 1 Peter, no 2 Peter. So Peter is explaining the scriptures to us from Genesis to Malachi. So when it says incorruptible, it actually means unfailing. That which has already come to pass. So it's more sure. In 2 Peter, he calls it more sure. That is, it's reliable. It has already been fulfilled. Glory to God. So it says, we're born according to God's plan from Genesis. We came out of the promise of God, fulfilled. So he's saying that that word from which you came, that substance, is unfailing. And you are proof that the word is unfailing. That whatever God told Abraham, through you, with all the families of that you blessed, it has come to pass. We are Abraham's seed today in Christ Jesus. Say amen. Now, again, so we said something very crucial that we need to understand that. Look at Romans chapter 15 to preface. That's why, if you are yet to listen after the service from two Sundays ago, please go back and then listen again, because there are things that were said that you didn't really catch. And it's important that you understand the season that we're in and why we're looking at this aspect of God's word. All right, verse 4, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Notice Paul's presentation. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's the word ahead of time. So there were things written ahead of time, which means some things were written for a people to come. There are a people to come that Moses knew will come according to God's promise. A people to come. So he says the things that were written ahead of time were written for our learning. That we, through what? Patience and what? Comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, the God of that patience, so when he brings this truth out, the God of that patience, the patience is talking about is the comfort of scriptures based on the experiences of the patriarchs. He now says, whatever things were written ahead of time were written for our learning, so that we through consistently standing upon God's word. An example we have seen in the life of the patriarchs. He says, we and the comfort of scriptures might have an expectation. Now, listen carefully. There are two kinds of hope in the epistles. The general hope that we have is the hope of a resurrected body. Hallelujah. It's got a living hope. But then there is hope in the present tense with respect to the outcome, the fate outcome of situations and circumstances you find yourself in. For instance, in Philippians 1 and verse 19, Paul was sharing with the church at Macedonia about the travails and the trials that he had encountered. He was in prison. He was in prison because of the gospel. So he told them in verse 19, says, for I know that this shall turn. So there was a negative situation. Paul was saying, I am confident that it's going to turn. Now, Paul is not a guess. It's not, I hope it works. I know this will turn. It will be through your prayers. which will minister the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, I am in prison, but it's not God's will for me to be in prison. Now, it will turn simply means Paul being in prison is the enemy at work. People getting saved in prison is God's plan at work. You need to understand divine process. Paul getting to prison in Acts chapter 16 is the enemy at work to stop the gospel. But the more you study scriptures, the more you see a particular thread. And that thread gives you comfort. In other words, your trust in God will be so absolute that in every situation, after you have given yourself to walking the word and practicing the word, you are now sure of what the outcome will be as always. So it's not a guess game. Now, when it's still a guess game, your faith is still wavering. You're still not sure. Now, again, you know, Pastor shared some things with us this morning. And that's, you know, it's interesting. The last 2 or 3 years, the economy of the nation has been under strain, isn't it? Okay, now, so, well, in the last 2 or 3 years, if you draw a chart of how your life has been, there were months where you said, at the first week of the month, everything you had was gone. How will we supply, survive? Guess what, you are here now? Now, what makes you think the journey will be different from now to December? Because the one who took you through does not sleep, it doesn't slumber. It doesn't fail. So it is just in human nature to just worry. It's just in human nature to just worry. No matter the kind of victory they've seen, they quickly forget. Psalm 103 says that, bless God, O my soul. And all that is within me, what? Bless his holy name. Bless God, O my soul. And forget not all his what? Benefit. The one that saves your soul from destruction. He says, don't forget. Why? There's a tendency for the mind, the minute you are confronted with a fresh challenge, and though the challenge is fresh, no challenge is new. No challenge is new. That's the deception of the enemy. No challenge is new. They're just multifaceted trials and temptations. That means they come with a new dimension, but it's the same thing. The victory that you got through Christ on the cross is the same victory that will triumph, that will prevail in that situation. Glory to God. So there is something about your mind shifting ground, your mind straying away from that anchor, which is God's word. Glory to God. So the time comes, because think about it very carefully. Why do you think, after being flogged for doing the will of God, Paul and Silas will pray and praise? They were flogged for doing the will of God. You know, first we just have thrown up our hands. What is this? Maybe I missed God. Because you think if things go negatively, you must have missed God. No. Sometimes it's a sign that you're on the same page with God. That things are going south. Sometimes, many times. If you're on God's same page with God and things go south, rejoice. In that hour, rejoice. Something bigger and better than what you thought is going to happen. It's about to happen. So your mind must be schooled in that discipline of the Spirit. Otherwise, you will never be approved as a son. Now, I'm using a lot of figures of speech. I trust God to everything. If your mind is not schooled in this spiritual discipline of trusting God within the storms and trials of life, which is, you know, his faithfulness is beyond the situation you're facing, so that after a while, you are so sure of what the outcome will be every single time, you will no longer waver. The wavering will stop. He says, so that we truth, hope, and comfort of scriptures may have what? Hope. So the hope is expectation of an outcome. You already know there will be what? A glorious outcome. So go back to 1 James chapter 1. I wanted to say 1 James. There's no 2 James. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 from verse 2. Let's go back. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? This is important. Because you're going to run this season. Glory to God. Yes, you're going to run this season. And there are things they're going to accomplish effortlessly. Because these are the unveiling of the truth of God's word to harm you for the days ahead. It's so important. So James 1, it says, verse 2, please. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse. The word fall actually means when you step into things that are all around. It's all over the place. It's not of your own doing, of your own working. It's the world that we live in. Many are the afflictions of what? The righteous. So there are things all around. When you step into the things that's all around, it says, into multifaceted challenges. It now says, knowing this. So there is a knowing before you stepped in. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, which is not what God is doing. That is what the challenges came to do, to try your faith. In other words, there's something much more precious than the challenge. There's something much more important than the job. It is what got the job in the first place, your faith. There's something much more important than your health. It is how your health was regulated in the first place. Because these are the things that make people jettison the faith walk. I've not seen God's faithfulness in this area. I've not seen God's faithfulness in this area. And then they let go of every other area where they have seen God's faithfulness. And that is the trying of their faith. So he says, knowing this, at the trying of faith, it works patience. That's consistency, continuity in spiritual discipline. It says, as your faith is under trial, what it's producing or your response to it is that you abide with what you know. You stay with it. You stand your ground. If you shift ground, you never believed in the first place. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. When challenges come, have you noticed that if you try to confess when the challenge is has already started, sometimes it's like it's too late already. That means your confession is the same in season out of season. So if what you were doing before, I'm not talking about Christianese, you know Christianese. How are you doing? It is well. It is well. It is well. You are sweating. It is well. It's well. It's well. We know that it's not well. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what you've been saying regularly, daily, before there was any issue. So what you're saying is not because there's an issue, it's because that's who you are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me this morning? So this is how we find those who are practicing and those who are just hearing. Because James is teaching a principle here. He says you are to count it all joy when, not if. He now says you have to have an understanding that when your faith is under trial, there is a continuity that proves your persuasion in the first place. That means it's because you are persuaded that you continue even though your faith is under trial. It says you continue. You don't let go of what you have believed because you know there is a continuity that's the proof of your faith. It now says, listen what it says. It says, but let that continuity, let it produce results so that after the experience, you may be fully mature, developed as a Christian. It means the Christian virtue and character is now developed. You're no longer a fear weather Christian. You are a Christian for all seasons. Psalm 1. See, I'm a Christian for all seasons. See, I don't faith, I don't stumble. I don't falter, and I don't waver. I stand my ground. Psalm 1 from verse 1. Blessed is, that's the only way I read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in what? The counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits where? In the seat of the scornful. What does verse 2 say? But, so there's something else he's doing. He says, but is the light. What excites him is the law of the Lord. And in that law, what does he do? He meditates day and what? Night. He says it in the morning. He says it in the evening. Why is morning and evening necessary? Let me ask you a question. 2 plus 2. Okay, you didn't think. You know why you didn't think? You didn't put counters together in your mind. Repetition taught you 2 plus 2 is 4. 2 times 2. Can you see? The only problem when you say 64 times 64. Problem now starts. 64. 64. They didn't teach you that one. You know, so, but times table. I don't know how they call it times table. Times table. By repetition, we enforce learning through repetition. So, 6 times 6, 36. 5 times 5, 25. You were taught that way. Over time. So, because it was repeated, the same principle works with God's word. Memorizing scriptures is not a cake. This is the word that you live by. Memorizing scriptures is not a cake. If memorizing scripture works for you, do, in fact, you know that it works for you, you should do it. I learn scripture by reading repeatedly. Until I quote old chapters. When you read something over and over and you've been saying it, you can't, it's like you are, it's a recycling. He says, in his law does he meditate day and night. Now, so there is something already waiting. There is the counsel of the ungodly. There is the way sinners have devised with handling life. There is a way those who scorn the things of God. There's a position they've already taken. It says, but the man who chooses to delight himself in the law of the Lord, how does he delight? By meditating day and night. It shall be as figure of speech. It shall be as a tree planted by what? Rivers of water. So a tree planted by rivers of water has nothing about seasons. Affects that tree. Dry season. Nigeria, we have how many seasons? How many seasons? But we that come from UK. You know, people like you that don't know, you know, we know autumn, spring, summer, winter. You don't even know it. But we have just roughly two seasons. So there's a dry season, wet season. So what happens is that there are some crops that come out during dry season, some during what? Rainy season. But this particular crop is using, because it's an agrarian culture that they had then. So he uses an agrarian example. So he says, it shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I mean whatsoever it does. So I'm not talking about leaves or tree. I hope you're following the psalmist. Notice, it shall be as a tree. So it's not a tree, it shall be as. That's the closest thing I can use. Planted by the rivers of water. The kind that brings forth its food every season. So there is no change of season that affects it. Economy of nation doesn't destabilize. It lives independent of that economy because there's another supply that comes from the within. It's ready, it's prepared. It says, it brings forth food in the season. His leaf also shall show no sign of dropping. And whatever he does, you will see prosperity. It will work. What is producing the effect of the prosperity? In his law, does he meditate how? Day and night. That's where the problem is. So when James is telling you, you count it all joy, the word of God is a guarantee. It is the practice of the word that makes you rejoice when you should murmur and complain and agonize. Glory to God. You know, when we are coming to church on Sundays, we only encounter traffic at Fagba Traffic Junction there. So, and the traffic light is very unfair. Yes, it's very unfair. It's meant to be regulating so that you take away human error. It is error by itself. So people that are coming onto the road here, that light delays you. Almost deliberately. Delays you. So when we're there, I'm really like, what's all this? And then I notice that if I do that, every time I do that, I get walked up before getting to church. And when you finish complaining, it doesn't mean the light will change to green. Have you noticed? It doesn't mean to change. You see, so what is the purpose of complaining when you can be using the same mouth to praise God? It's going to be a great service this morning. The power of God is going to be manifested. You won't even know when you catch yourself. You just get one news. School fees prices across the nation have gone up. You are just you are about to purchase something. You start calculating. We cannot purchase this now. The information came from the news. And it's already structuring, but there's another news. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there are things attracting your attention to focus on. There's God's word calling your attention to focus on it. In his law does he meditate there? Because to do the word is to experience victorious things in life. So the only thing we can do for a believer who's very victorious is to stop him from doing the word. That's the only thing you can do. To stop that believer from doing the word. So James says, he says, let patience produce fruit so that you in character you may be complete and perfect and mature. And now we can see with respect to the fruit of the Spirit in expression, you lack nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, so the wisdom has to do with the challenges. You are stuck, you don't know what to do. Let him ask of God, the one who gives one man one liberally, the one who is already supporting you, the one who guarantees that you'll be victorious at the end of the day. Let him ask of that God. He shall be given him. But let him ask, nothing wavering, nothing doubting. For the one who wavers like we obviously. So he should not have a contrary thought with respect to on whose side is God in this situation. He shouldn't have any. First Peter, quickly. We look at the life of Joseph last week, isn't it? Did you get something? So notice, so that we through hope The comfort of scriptures might have hope. So he's talking about the experiences that were written, and they were written deliberately so that we can see a pattern. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be what? Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. So that illustration is important. That means there's noise, there's fear in the atmosphere. How is it done? You will not hear the devil. You will never hear him physically. You won't. You will hear the devil through men. So Peter says, your adversary, you be sober. That is, let your mind be sound in God's word. That thought actually starts. Let's move verse 5. So for context, verse 5. See what it says in verse 5. Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under what? The mighty hand of God that in me exalt you in. That is trust in the resurrection. Trust in God's ability as demonstrated in Christ's resurrection. Because that same ability is what is ensuring your exaltation. That is the one that will bring you out of that situation. It says trust in that hand. Now that is submit to God's word. Look at next verse. It says casting what? All your care upon him, for he cared for you. So as you have casted all your care, look at the next verse. Be sober. Be what? So there is responsibility upon you. You are to be responsible as a believer. How are you responsible? Be sober. Keep a stable mind. And it's your work. It's not God's work. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is going about. It can be likened to a roaring lion. So a roaring lion sends noise ahead. And you know a lion is in the vicinity. You can hear the noise here. According to, I watch Nigel Wild, so I like watching animals. A lion can be somewhere in Obawale is even close. Where can we use Pastor Tim? Over 30 kilometers, over 5 minutes, and you'll still be hearing the sound. So you will know it's around, but it's still far away. But the noise automatically instigates activity. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? So everybody starts, you know, taking cover. Nobody wants to go out. Nobody goes to go and investigate. Everybody stays in their house. That's from the sound. So it sends noise ahead. Now the enemy comes that way, but his activity is seen through men. So you be sober means that don't let your mind be affected. Be sober, vigilant. He's going around. He's seeking whom. So there is something you're going to do in word and in conduct that will let him know you are fair game. Why will he need to seek? Not everybody is fair game. Not everybody is subject to the attack. But there are some people that will be subject that will see that you are falling for the trick. That's what he's saying. Look at the next verse. Whom what? Resist steadfast where? In the faith. Knowing. So there's another knowing now, like him said. Knowing that the same one? Affliction. So he's not calling it affliction now. So the same challenges, the same other believers like you are facing the same thing. They also have the mandate to be sober, to be vigilant. It's been accomplished in your brainwood and in the world. Look at verse 10. It now says, but the God of what? All grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After you have what? Suffered a while. What will he do? Will make you perfect. That's mature. He will what? Establish you, strengthen and what? He will set you. He's talking about the process that the word will accomplish. He's not talking about the process difficulties will accomplish. So he says, when you're going through that challenge, as you stand upon God's word, the work of God on your inside is that God will process you, allow you to be mature. He's saying exactly the same thing that James said. You're perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Peter says, he will what? Strengthen you. He will establish you. He will not what? Set to you. Glory to God. See, I don't run in face of challenges. And because if you run, you know, there's only a few. He that lives or he that runs, you may not live. Because the opportunity to experience God's power has just been lost. The opportunity to experience every single challenge that comes, if you welcome them as an opportunity for God's power to be visibly seen, you will see more of God's glory at work through your life. In other words, there are challenges that come that you should welcome them as friends. It's a translation of James chapter 1 verse 2 that says, welcome opposition as friends. He said, when they are coming, like a long lost friend, welcome them. Now, that is not what the enemy meant it for, but that's how you are greeting them, because you already know what the outcome will be. Now, the outcome will be better than initially, the position you will be in after the challenge is over will be better than before the challenge came. That's where God works this out. Glory to God. That's what happened. So he says, It will set to you after the process is completed. But the process is what people usually tend to run away from. And the process is something you ought to, so to speak, not embrace, but at least welcome with the sense of you are going to use God's word to overcome, because there is something at the end of it that God is planning, even though the situation is not palatable. That part of you waiting between the time it starts and manifestation, Peter says, suffering. It causes suffering. Glory to God. It causes suffering. So as you're using your faith, as you're standing your ground, the time you start, the time is manifest, is a process of time where your Christian virtue is being developed. Conduct is being developed. The right attitude is being developed. Your disposition towards men is being developed. Men are no longer the enemies. You don't cause the process. You're speaking God's word. You're standing. You're meditating. The book of the Lord is not departing from your mouth. You're meeting day and night. So you may observe to do all that's written therein. So the people around you that the enemy is using are not a problem. Your response to the situation is where the challenge is. So many times, why don't we get to the end? Because again, we truncate the process while it's going on. Again, look at Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Look at Paul and Silas, which I used earlier. Acts 16. I'm going to read from verse 23 because of time. Of verse 19. And when our master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they called Paul and Silas and chewed them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city." Now, the background to this story is that they were led by the Spirit of God to go to this city. They were led to go and preach the gospel. They had a spectacular revelation. A man appeared in the vision and said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So this was God. So usually you would think if God is at work in a situation, should you face challenges? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was a vision. In fact, it was a vision that made them realize. Because sometimes when there's a spectacular, you know, I've said it many times here, when we're looking at how to be led by Spirit, God, don't pray for spectacular visitation. Tell your neighbor, don't pray for it. You'll be giving if only you need it. And if you receive it, start praying. You need strength. No, it's not for fun. It's not jamboree. It's not, you know, just to excite you. Pastor Jesus walked into my room. Praise God. What did he say? What did he say? Because he's going to say something. And what he says will let me know how to prepare you that, bros. Everything you know that's called normal is about to come upside down. Yes. The Jesus I appeared to Paul and said that, don't be afraid. He was about to bail. Don't be afraid. Stay in this city and preach. Nobody will hurt you. You won't be afraid of God. They will beat me. They will beat me. He had already fled in Acts chapter 14. It is apostolic to flee. Amen. When necessary. So Paul was afraid. They would say, stay. He gave him a relation. So the encounter was not for, you know, just for you to just say, no. It's because it's only given when needed so that you can have substance to hold on to when challenges come. So a man appeared in chapter 16 and told them, come to Macedonia. So they knew God wanted them to go there. Now, in obeying God, look at what happened. Verse 23 now. And we had laid many stripes of them, and that means they beat them severely. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, threw them into an inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at what? Midnight. Paul and Silas did what? They prayed and sang what? So, Paul and Silas, there was no epistle of James at this time. But the word of God is the same. So that means from Genesis to Malachi, what Paul saw that a believer should do in that situation is to pray and to give God praise. That's what it means. Now let me ask you a question. Now, let's be sincere with ourselves. For obeying God, for doing the right thing in the office, if you are sacked, what will you do? Don't lie. What will you be sincere? What will you do? You just obeyed God. How many, what will you say? Is this what it takes to obey you? So obeying you is causing this kind of suffering. The people that disobeyed you, see how they are enjoying. I will show you Psalm. Where it's written. It is everything. There's nothing you are going to explain that is not in the world. That you mean, but it was because I did your will. That's why you are suffering. It's in the Bible. You will suffer for doing the will of God. They beat them. You know, there is no better time to speak out of turn than when there are stripes on your back. Your back is bleeding. And they still prayed and did what? They sang praises. And the church that they were meant to start in that place began where? In prison. What was their plan? In the city. Who God saved? Only one woman who was selling purple. I don't know what it means to sell purple, but selling purple. She was the one that was, that you preach one person. Now in prison, you preach the jailer and his entire family. What the Bible doesn't write here are all the other prisoners. Because the prisoners were affected by God's power. You know what it means for jail doors to open and you don't run out? They knew the door was not open naturally. Who we go? You don't understand. The power of God was so strong, the chains broke. The doors open. You will not go. Because earthquake, that is natural disaster, destroys lives. These ones delivered lives. It was the activity of angels. What was so Paul and Silas saying? God is still God even now. He's still God even now. So they prayed and they sang praises. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. So it wasn't quiet. It wasn't the mumbling kind. I shall praise God anyway. I shall praise me. They say we shall praise God. No. No. It was loud. The doors opened. The shackles fell. The prisoners had enough sense to know something supernatural was happening. Then, usually because prisoners will escape once the doors are open, the jailer automatically believed that everybody had gone. Look at what it says. The keeper of Israel waking out of sleep, he saw the prisoners open. That was the custom. Once they are all gone, just know. Don't wait for them to call you. Do it by yourself. At least you can choose your own. Because they first torture you, so he decided. But look at what happened. He supposed prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried. How did Paul know? He heard the sound of the sword. Paul said, don't hurt yourself. We are all here. Who does that? So what we find out is this. They put Paul in prison. There was a keeper of the prison. But the real person in prison was a jailer. In the prison of sin. Under dominion of darkness. The one who was really free was Paul and Silas. It takes the word of God to see that. Hallelujah. Now if we came here and were beaten because Jesus wanted you saved and it's worth it. So what was the enemy's plan to stop the gospel from spreading? What did this plan do eventually? It caused the gospel to spread faster. There's a DNA code inside of you. That's called victory. That when the enemy comes and you stand on God's word, what they meant to stop will happen faster than it was meant to happen. Nothing can be done against God's will. There's no wisdom or understanding against the Lord. It cannot stand. That is, you are walking in God's will and God's plan. You're standing in God's word. Whatever is thrown against you to hinder will accelerate the process. Glory to God. Please don't hurt yourself. Who taught this man to say this? Look at the next thing. Look at what next man. If brother man says, sirs, what must I do? You will know that these are your superiors. There's something is going on that's supernatural. And that is the dimension of God's working and God's power that God wants the believer to experience and for people around you to see that there's nothing. You see, enough of just saying, I'm not ordinary. And everything in your life is ordinary. What is happening to them is happening to you. No. Of you, it is said, there is no weapon that is fashioned against you. That what? Prosper. There must be something about you that doesn't follow the normal pattern. And it's because we're not practicing the word. We're not standing our ground in difficult situations and walking the word in order to see the power of God manifest. Paul stood. They walked and the word walked. The power broke forth. And people saw the glory of God in a dimension they had never really seen before. And that is exactly what was happening in the life of the patriarchs. Glory to God. Glory to God. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You sold me, but God sent me ahead to preserve, to serve what lives. So there's what you planned, there's what God did. Let me ask you a question. Which one is superior? Which one is superior? The same principle is there today. The same principle is there today. Glory to God. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. That's a principle that we'll find. Yeah, we have used it to explain the resurrection, and it is about the resurrection. But I want you to notice something that Jesus said. In Luke 24, are you there? Verse 13. We don't have the time to read it, but let's quickly go. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and did what? He went with them. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you can boldly say what? The Lord is my... Okay, so see, it says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him, and said unto them, what man of communication is this that you speak one to another as you walk? And I said, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, are you only a stranger? He's talking to Jesus. So imagine, God, are you not aware? Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And you have not known the things which have come to pass in this days. Jesus is wonderful. He said, what is? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and a word before God and the Lord. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at verse 21. But we trusted it would have been he which should have what? Redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day that these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished who were early in the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe what? All that the prophets have what? Spoken. Look at next verse. Ought not Christ to have what? Suffer. And do what? That's the believer's DNA there. That's your DNA right there. Ought not these things to have happened so you can be promoted? Ought not these circumstances to have happened so you can launch forth? It is not ought not these things to have happened so you can be destroyed. No, many may be the afflictions of the righteous. But something happens in the process. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord delivers him out of some. Out of some. Out of all. Out of all. Out of all. So, when you dodge classes, when you dodge challenges, and you know we're so used to using shortcuts on the added methods, and that's why you've never really tasted God's power to any real dimension. That's what the problem is. You don't allow the process to continue. You look for shortcuts. And shortcuts are only appealing when you have not been practicing God's word regularly. So you're afraid. What if? Why do people lie? Because they are afraid of the consequences of telling the truth. Have you noticed that? Yeah. So everybody is doing this in my office. I will also do it. No, you have a greater testimony. There is a higher power at work in your life. But you won't see the power work when you don't walk the word. That's where the problem is. You won't see the power work when you don't walk the word. Ought not Christ to have suffered and then enter? You should have believed the prophets. You should have seen the pattern. Every single patriarch was pointing to Christ. So you will see them suffer, but you will see them exalted, victorious. They are all pointing to Christ. And that's the DNA of Christ in every believer. If you go through, you will find yourself on the other side victorious. That's what he's saying. The same thing is still manifest today. It's still there today. You will find yourself on the other side. So the issue is not the challenge, it is that there is nothing that can come against you that will confuse God. Nothing. Or that will surprise God. And you have to know that. So you walk in the word. Look at James. Go back to James. Chapter 1. Let's jump to verse 21 now. Are you getting something this morning? Okay. So he says, let's start from verse 19. Says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Yep. For the wrath of man, that's the anger of man, does not work what? It doesn't accomplish God's goal. God's plan is never accomplished by you getting angry. So the process is on. When you get angry, just understand that God's plans can never be accomplished in the energy of the flesh. Look at what it says. Next verse. It says, verse 20, it says, wherefore, lay apart what? That the anger is calling it filthiness in its abundance of naughtiness. It says, and what receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word. In his word does he meditate how? Day and night. Receive with meekness. Meekness means shelve all your previous ideas. All the ways you have been getting results. Let me say it again. The reason why a Christian will add figures at the office, will steal where others are stealing, is because you have never walked the word in the office to see supernatural results. That's why. That's the only reason why. And because you see some people, other people are getting ahead of you. And we're going to read Psalm 27 before we go. I will show you what the Bible says in advance of how people live And when a believer goes that way, the negative things that will follow you, because you have a superior heritage in Christ Jesus. God knows you have need of those things. He knows promotion is necessary. But there is God's way, there is the world's way. So God's way is superior, because at the end of it, there will be no blame, there will be no accusation, there will be no condemnation. So he wants you to walk the word. Now, there will be pressure of you, because those who are doing it will seem to be getting ahead. Why do you think we have a sudden upsurge in Yahoo Yahoo? Get a car now, a house now. Get this one now. And here's what people don't understand. Everything you seem to want to get that speaks about comfort and life benefits, getting it is not what God is interested in. The process you went through to get it is what God is interested in. Because the process develops your faith and makes you rest more in God's faithfulness. And God is interested in that process than anything itself. See, to live in the best house possible, to have the best cars, does not even face God at all. It's not a problem. The challenge is that, I don't know if you've ever talked to people who acquired wealth by ungodly means. If they be honest with you, they will tell you, after everything, vanity upon vanity. All you see what? That's still not happening. A former leader of this nation has a mansion, empty, cracking, underground tunnel, I think close to 100 rooms. It was fashionable then. It's a disaster now. Because if a man tries to acquire wealth without God, you just discover that there's really vanity, emptiness. You will never know joy. You have all material benefits can buy, and yet there's no joy on the inside. You're empty on the inside, because there's something the soul of man is designed to receive, and that's the life of God. Hallelujah. So now today, now in this social media age, now those things have been flaunted before us. Have you noticed that? Just open Instagram and everybody is flaunting and everybody is posing, and most people are lying. Yes, yes, yes. That's the truth. Everybody wants to see them in a particular light. What's wrong with the light that you are really... What's wrong? It's a sign that you are insecure. And you are not confident of God's blessing. That's the problem. So are you in First James. James chapter 1. Look, quickly, let's run now. Verse 22. But be ye what? Doers of the word are not one, hearers only. What will you end up doing? Deceiving your own selves. So Pastor Tolu leads us in confession. You confess in church. When you get outside, you curse. So we're not there to observe the curse, but the results have been deposited in your experiences. So we're not there to monitor whether you're cursing. We can only see what you do in church, and we are also trying to see whether you follow what we're posting on a daily basis. But then the real report card are the experiences organized for you in God to have if you do the word. That's the real report card. So the report card is not in church, it's in life. And we're not the ones marking that one. It is God that's marking that one. So whether you are having victorious experiences, you know, even though you are coded for victorious experiences, but the victorious experiences are released as you act on the word. It says, be ye doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man, verse 23, be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto, so figure of speech, a man beholding his natural face. So you see your Genesis, you see that you are meek, you are gentle, you are kind, you're generous, you're faithful, you're patient. All those things are, you see them in the word, that this is how you are. This is what the word of God says you are. It says you are victorious in Christ Jesus. It says you are more than a conqueror. You see all those things. That's your origin, that's your Genesis. It says, but the one who is hearing and not doing, he will look at it and neglect what he saw when he faces life. So when he faces life, you hear him say things like, church is church, we have reached here now. This is a business. Please, I beg, I beg, I beg, I beg. Hard 1-0 there. Life is difficult. You are neglecting. It's deliberate. You are neglecting. Now, what is happening? You may be getting much more benefits, but the real benefit you will never get. You will never get. Joseph had the option. Everything your boss has given you is under your control. Had the madam to it. You don't know. Had madam to it. What will happen? Potiphar will promote you more, but you will never be the king's right hand. That's the one that Potiphar's wife can't do. and you have no idea of. And that's the dream that God gave you, not Potiphar's house. So they gave you a shortcut, but it's a cut that will cut you short. Because where you are going is to be the king's right hand. And only God can orchestrate it, but you have to pass this. Because why do you think Joseph was not vindictive as the most influential man in Egypt? Why do you think he wasn't cutting corners? When you have tested the word of God and he has produced results, it becomes your eternal confidence. It now becomes what you are using. It's like, how did I get here? Standing on God's word. I will continue in God's word. You're not walking the counsel of the ungodly. You're not standing in the way of sinners. You're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. You are now delighted, even by experience, because now you are like that tree planted by the rivers of water. God's word is sweet. I'm being sincere with you. God's word is sweet. Every experience I've had of victory, I know God put it in my account for the future. So I know that, you know, when you have overcome, you are still good. There are other things to overcome. But when you dodge, it's like repeating classes. Your parents paid for WAEC. You didn't go and sit for the WAEC. You know, there's a limit to which you can lie to them that they have not released results. So when you didn't go and sit, now who are you deceiving? Moreover, at the initial stage, you think you are deceiving them. But they've done their part by paying for the exam. You're not going. Who are you really deceiving? Yourself. Because the WAEC is for your life. Because they have done their own WAEC. You know, we do some things that are very funny. You know, they've passed their own exam. They've lived their own life. So, you know, the height of deception is to say that way. They didn't know I didn't go for the exam. See? You know? The enemy that led you to it. This is how we do you. You know? Because you are deceiving yourself. The results will come out, and then before you know what's happening, your mates are 5 years ahead of you before you woke up. And you know God's faithfulness. The day you turn around, say, Father, I'm ready. Say, let's go now. Don't go that way. Say, let me pay for someone to write the exam. Say, don't go that way. Follow me. Read. Study. I will help you. It now gives you a shortcut. Like the boy that I know, who though he struggled because of funds and everything, and because the lecturers were not fair to him, he came out with a third class. His mates did well. They finished school before him. By the time he was coming out, I'm not even sure he was. I think it was just a pass. That is, let my people go. That's why he came out with. Due to no fault of his own, naturally speaking, he just trusted God. And then when his mates saw him next, it's a very funny way to be blessed, but it happens. He just played one lottery ticket. Lottery is not gambling. Amen. One lottery ticket. And in those days, he just played casually. He just finished school. His mates had nothing. They were looking for a job, like he was looking for a job. The next thing happened, that somebody employed him. He played the lottery. He won a Benz. And he came out with pass. So it's not by first class. It's by God's grace. So as long as you are dodging, the good thing that God has in mind. Hallelujah. That's what you're doing. You're dodging the good thing that God has in mind. And until you learn to allow the word of God to have that full effect, you are like that man. You are building. This is my origins, my genesis. This is what is written concerning me. But you are neglecting. Because if you know what is written, you stay what is written, you keep looking. You set other things, you keep looking. You will look to the point where you will act in line with what you have seen written. And when you start acting that way, look at next verse. Jump to the next verse, please. Verse 24. See what it says in verse 24. It says, if Beelzebub goes away, straightway forgets what manner of man is. What? Next verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of what? Liberty. And he continues. Not as a forgetful hearer or the one who doesn't regard what he has heard, but a doer, somebody who is practicing. The word doer actually means to speak forth with the intention to act. You speak forth and you act. You speak forth, you act based on what you are looking at. It says, you will be blessed in all you do. That means there will be supernatural influence over the affairs of your life. You will see God's power at work in unusual ways, in opportunities that are coming forth. Look at Psalm 37. I must read this Psalm for today. I mustn't forget. Hallelujah. Okay, so just stay with me now. Let's read. When was the last time you read the book of Psalms? Hopefully not for enemies. Amen. Yeah, where I came from. Oh, God is faithful. We use this book to do wonderful things. Things that should not be spoken of. All right, from verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Can you see that? Who is speaking? David. David knows. Trust in the Lord. And what? So how does a man demonstrate trust in God? You will do good. Not occasionally. How many times? At all times. So trust in the Lord, or demonstrate your trust in God by doing good. It now says, and you will dwell in the land, and verily you'll be what? Fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will what? Grant you the desires that are in your heart. So there are desires, there are dreams, there are aspirations that God will not only reveal, it will guide you to his manifestation. That's what he's going to do. So he says, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and what? He will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's be consistent in your practice of the word. He says, don't fret yourself because of the one who seems to be prospering in his way. Because of the man that brings what? Wicked devices to pass. Oh my goodness. You would think David was alive in our day. Don't be envious. Don't disturb yourself over such things when you see those things happening. He says, and to ladies too, don't fret yourself. Don't fall into Yahoo's hands. Amen. 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 Sisters. Sisters. Don't fall. Amen. They're all over the place. Cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Don't fret yourself in any wise to do evil. I love what Good News Bible says. It says, don't decide to join them in evil doing out of anger. Because you are going to find yourself in a situation where it looks as though to serve God doesn't pay. It pays like nothing else does. You'll find yourself in those kind of situations. The temptation to compromise will be strong upon you. Because you will see those who are cutting corners. I won't lie to you. You will see them getting ahead. Don't let anybody tell you they don't get ahead. They do. But look at what the judgment that is written. See what it says. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall have what? They shall inherit that. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. You will diligently seek for them, but you will not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes it upon him. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he said that what his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent the bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter where? Into their own heart. He didn't say God shall do it though. Okay, so, no, just read what is written there. Don't add anything to it. See, a little that the righteous man has is better than what? The riches of the wicked. Can you see that? Look at verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the righteous, and their inheritance shall be how long? How long? So, the wicked will spread himself like a bring. Let me read a bit more before we stop. It's a very long psalm. Let me jump. All right, verse 23. The steps of a good man. You know that one. The steps of a good man. They are what? Who is the good man? Who is the righteous man? In this psalm now, contextually, because I know you are righteous. Say I'm righteous. Say I'm a good man. But the good man is one who is doing good though. So the good man is one who is practicing the word. If you're reading correctly, the good man is one who has stood in God's word, who is practicing, who has trusted in God's word. See what he's saying? He says, I order by the Lord, he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast out. So when he makes what you call a mistake, God will still uphold him. Okay, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or is he begging bread. He's ever merciful and lends his seed also. Okay, so he's saying something very important. And that thing is this. You will see wickedness seemingly prosper. You will see seemingly thrive. Say, but suddenly, out of nowhere, you will look for him, you won't find him again. But the meek, the righteous, the just, they will what? In a way they act, and their substance will be forever. Tell your neighbor, serving God pays. Acting on the word pays. Serving God pays. Acting on the word pays. The stories that we find in the scriptures of the patriarchs were written for our learning. Jacob was called a cheat, a supplanter. But the plan of God was different. So here's the issue. Jacob has to be schooled in righteousness, as we are being schooled in righteousness today. So to school him, he was sent to a place. What he did was done to him 10 times. Hallelujah. It was done 10 times. What did he need to learn? How not to follow that pattern again? If you read from Genesis chapter 27, then something happened. Laban was cheating Joseph, Jacob. Jacob did not once retaliate. He didn't take advantage. He had learned a lesson. God had already met him on the way when he left his father's house. He tried to trust God all the way. So when they were cheating him, so you know they do that at your place of work now. They will elevate somebody that came in after you. I had one of our folks here who, he was so heartbroken when he was cheated out of the promotion. The person that he sometimes takes over that person's burden at work to help that person was promoted because of tribal issues. A person above was doing promotion, and this other person came from the same tribe. That lady was above somebody, so he promoted her above him, and he was in that company before the other lady, and he was doing most of the work. So I said, he was literally in tears. So I told him, when you get home, rejoice. You know, it's easy to say it in church. You look at a person like this, which rejoice. Rejoice. Because the way you act, reward. But if you don't force yourself to act on God's word, you will see victory. When you get home, pray this way. Then I led him in prayer. Father, I thank you. Thanksgiving is the last thing in your mind. I thank you. In all things, we give thanks. Because the minute you don't do that, the enemy has hijacked the process. You know, your mourning, your sorrowing, your crying is an act of giving up. You've lost the process. That's what it means. The situation is not the issue. It's your reaction that's the issue. That's what determines the outcome. So, they just did this. You were treated wrongfully. God knows you were treated wrongfully. Don't make matter worse by now acting wrongfully. So, Jacob did not try to vindicate himself. While he was faithful when being cheated, a revelation was given to him on how to increase flock until he now had an inheritance even when he was being cheated. It's like somebody who is not being paid for 10 months and he was still wealthy. God says, I want to show you, man shall not live by salary alone, but by every word that comes. And God showed Jacob, and Jacob saw it. And Jacob straightened up. He no longer tried to use underhanded means. He now understood, God has got my back. Glory to God. Enough of believers who claim to be believers, but when it comes to your place of work, you are not a Christian. I've said it many times that if we come to your area for evangelism and you join us, will anybody listen to us and you on that street because of your conduct? I've been living in the same house for about 10 years. There's nowhere in the area where my wife and I are evil spoken of. You know how many? Yes, you can come anytime. You can ask anybody randomly. Because your conduct should be becoming at all times. Glory to God. I don't become a pastor because a lot of people don't even know. I go to places I never introduce myself as pastor daily, because when you say you're a pastor, people precondition their response. Have you noticed? They do so. I've been doing banking for a while, and it was one day, I think something happened with the account, so they check the account, church account. A woman saw my picture and saw Reverend. Say, so you're a pastor? I said, yes. Why didn't you tell me you're a pastor? I said, I don't understand. Is he family inheritance? I know family inheritance. No, it's not a family inheritance. What should show that you're a child of God should be your conduct, not label. Not by wearing, I'm born again. The t-shirt, born of incorruptible seed. But you are shouting at bus stop. You are shouting at bus stop. You are the one that broke traffic laws. I serve a God that never fails. But you are the one that last man just caught now. For breaking the law. Now, when I say that now, you know what I mean by that? I'm talking about legally now, because a lot of illegalities are going on there. We all know. So in Nigeria, that a law officer will go and hide. So you can, I've never seen it before. So you can break, I've never seen. And I'll jump out, hey! That That's when you'd have been thanking your God that you are saved. Because if you are not saved, that thought will just come. Clear him. You really have to be a Christian in Nigeria because of the kind of things that you throw your way. They almost make you forget your Christian conduct. The kind of things they do. When it comes to your place of work, there should be a distinction. We shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Glory to God. Don't use your methods. Stand on God's word. They that don't know their God shall be strong. They shall do what? Exploits. Lift your hands this morning and thank him. Say, I'm a doer of the word. I will do the word. I will not cut corners. I will not take shortcuts. I will let the process of God's word be complete. I will be perfect, entire. I will lack nothing. God's character will be seen through me. I will commit myself to him, the one that is faithful. I can trust him. He will bring me out looking good. Thank him this morning. Give him praise. God's ways are better. God's ways are better. God's ways are better. His results last. His blessings, they make rich. He had no sorrow. His goodness will be seen like a perfume. This man shall be blessed in all his deeds. This man that doeth the word, not a forgetful, he shall be blessed in all his deeds. Don't separate your life from work life. Let your Christian life show at work. And it show with your neighbors. And it show everywhere. You are shining as light in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. We shine as lights in the midst. Let your conduct be becoming. Let it reflect the DNA that you carry. So that the scriptures can be proven to be true. Even among those who are not saved. That whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It's the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Our faith. Give him thanks this morning.